from around the globe. In sold-out arenas. And humble churches. From out on the streets. To your screen. And now, the time and what must be done. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
Greetings to you. I am Minister Louis Farrakhan, National Representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that great preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to the black man and woman of America and the Western Hemisphere, and to the Aboriginal people of the earth, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, and a warner to the government and people of the United States of America, and a warner to the nations of the earth. President Obama, let's open up Roswell. Summon the scientists from all over the world to America under your auspices. And you go with them, along with Presidents Carter, Clinton, and with Presidents Bush 41 and Bush 43, and look at what Allah sent to you and study it. And if you think there can be a better world from the knowledge that Allah God introduced for us to use, why, that was like a man coming to you, giving you his card and giving you his address and telephone number, saying, if you'd like to reach me, just call me. I'm sending you a wheel, a few of them as my calling card. So when the scripture says, I am that I am, the first I am means that I'm present. I'm in the present tense. The second I am means I exist. I am the answer to the verb to be. I am. I'm not only in existence. Now I am present and I am in power. I am that I am. And I have power over all things. So tell them, Farrakhan, tell them that's who sent you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes in the September 21st, 1973 edition of Muhammad Speaks, quote, we continue from last week the analysis of Ezekiel's wheel. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25, the prophet Ezekiel described winged creatures that he saw. Do not be foolish enough to think that these creatures that Ezekiel describes and which he refers to as living creatures have feathery wings. They did not have feathery wings that they let down. In this vision of the wheel or plane, this plane is built so unlike the other planes that we could call it a mystery wheel to what we had heretofore known. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was a likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. In Ezekiel's vision, the voice that he heard coming from the firmament that was over their heads, this really is referring to the future of the work of the plains master. The voice is the voice of the master of the plain. And the voice is described as being above the plain. If the voice is heard above the plain, then what was the voice in or on? Was this voice on another plane or on another wheel? In verse 26 of the first chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel describes seeing something above the wheel in his vision, something like a throne as having the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon this stone that was the likeness of a throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. Ezekiel, the first chapter, the 27th verse. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. In that same chapter of Ezekiel, the 28th verse, as the appearance of the rainbow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, as Ezekiel says, with the appearance of a man with all of this science on him and the dividing of him, an upper and a lower part of him, he said, it was as if it were the appearance of fire. From the first description of the wheel, it teaches the reader that the wheel is designed for war purposes. The wheel is one of the most mysterious wheels that the world has ever dreamed of in the way of military science. I say military science, for this is exactly what the wheel is. It is a wheel that is made to do military work. By what Ezekiel said now about the appearance of it, there is no doubt about the interpretation of this wheel that it is militarily built for war purposes, and that the wheel is guided especially by the desire of God Almighty. As we continue to analyze verse 28, Ezekiel describes the frightfulness of the wheel as the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. This brings us into the divine spirit of God in the making of the wheel. So much proves the wheel to be divine work that Ezekiel in the 28th verse said that when he saw it, he fell upon his face. But Ezekiel said that he heard a voice of one that spake. Note how Ezekiel gives this to us, one that spake. What one that speaks? We all speak. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Here comes to us that a divine mission is going into the interpretation of the wheel. Ezekiel adds, he said unto me, Son of man. This refers to a prophet of God who are both in the wheel taking it over. And God advises the Son of Man, Prophet Ezekiel, to stand upon his feet. For in the verse above, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28, Ezekiel said that he had fallen upon his face. The Spirit of God entered into Ezekiel and set him on his feet. In the second chapter, the second verse of Ezekiel, this is the mission of the prophet of God. And the God must make the prophet who he has now missioned aware of the protection against the enemy and the warring work that will be carried out by the wheel. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 3 says that Ezekiel is sent to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 3 describes them to be impudent and stiff-headed. This verse is referring to the black people in America. But the black people in America must be warned whether they will hear or not. They are a rebellious people called a house, which means a nation. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 5, they must be warned regardless to what type of people they may be. They must know the truth. Yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. They, the black people in America, must be warned as all of the people of God were warned the same. They are terrible people. They are dangerous people, as the prophet is warned in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. The Son of Man is told, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. They speak stout words, disgraceful words against the truth and the truth bearer. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 6 through 10 of the King James Version, it reads, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. What is a scorpion? And what is the effect of its sting and venom? According to Wikipedia, all known scorpion species possess venom and use it primarily to kill or paralyze their prey so that it can be eaten. In general, it is fast-acting, allowing for effective prey capture. It is also used as a defense against predators. The venom is a mixture of compounds, neurotoxins, enzyme inhibitors, etc., each not only causing a different effect, but possibly also targeting a specific animal. Each compound is made and stored in a pair of glandular sacs and is released in a quantity regulated by the scorpion itself. This is a very deadly creature. And the state that we have been put in by our enemies has us being referred to by God as scorpions. And the prophet of God, the Son of Man, is set down among scorpions. Also in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 of the King James Version, it reads, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. So fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Beloved brothers and sisters, can't you see that with the backing and help of Allah God and His Christ or Mahdi, I have no fear of you to tell the truth to the people of the planet Earth. As the God of Ezekiel, Moses, Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, I too am backed by the same God who backed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why do we talk about scientists? Scientists are the highest manifestation of intelligence in any and every society. As we said, they do not believe in the representation of religion as it is being represented, but they do believe in God or a higher power. It's like Michael Jordan, the great basketball player. When Larry Bird saw him play, he said, I saw God in a basketball uniform. What was he saying? I've seen somebody greater on the court than I, and I recognize his greatness and I bow. We are born to bow. Even an atheist, you just don't recognize God in the unscientific way that religion represents him. So you call religion the opiate of the masses, but you know that this universe is an intelligent design from an intelligent designer. Who is behind this? Who is behind this wheel? It is Allah God who is introducing himself to you, America, that he's present now and he comes to take over the rule of the planet and its people, and he is offering you a place if you submit. But if you fight him, then you cause him to use the awesome power that he has to remove you totally, completely, irreversibly from the face of the earth. Rulers of America, it's your choice. This is the servant of the great Mahdi and the great Messiah that is representing this to you. President Barack Obama, call the scientists. Open up Area 51 to the scientists of the world, because you, America, are the leader that Allah God has raised and made you powerful that he might make himself known through you. And if America calls the scientists of the earth to such place, they will respond. What would be the reason for the call? To show them a sign of the presence of God, to right the wrongs of the earth, and to heal it. If President Obama even attempts to do this, the shadow government will be in trouble, because they too will be forced to have to bow to this. The scientists all over the earth will know, especially through the clarity of our voice and what they see, that God is present, and that we whom they have destroyed would not have this knowledge if it did not come from the highest of sources. We believe our words that we have shared on the presence of the wheel could help the president and America to avert Allah's warning of chastisement and destruction if America does not bow down. I have been given authority to teach this. And you who have experienced the wheels are my witnesses. So come on out from your hiding places and stand up for the good of America, because you may expose a shadow government that can cause America to be destroyed. But if you stand up and tell the world unashamedly what you have seen, then maybe we can turn this negative into the positive that God intended for you when he holds back his power from you, his power to destroy you. He has purposely kept it back and is only gradually releasing some of the forces of nature to let you know that the inordinate weather that you are experiencing, it's because he's present. And he's trying to make you to see that you don't have any power to stop what he has the power to bring. In an article titled, "New Advisor John Podesta, an Advocate for UFO Disclosure," posted on December the 11th, 2013, in the Huffington Post. It reads, quote, "For all of you who hope the United States government will lift the veil on its alleged stockpile of evidence that Earth is being visited by extraterrestrials, take heart. This week, former Clinton chief of staff and UFO advocate John Podesta was named as President Obama's newest advisor. Podesta, 64, has more than once publicly urged the United States government to release any UFO files that could help scientists determine the real nature of this phenomenon." President Obama, since you have John Podesta by your side and you have the friendship of Bill and Hillary Clinton, who were taught of these UFOs by Lawrence Rockefeller, since you have an army of those inside America and outside that have seen these things and will join with you, if there's great opposition against you from the satanic mind. And what is the satanic mind? Jesus learned that he was 2,000 years too soon to end the civilization of the false Jews. Well, if he was 2,000 years too soon, and we are on time, then who are we? We are the heralds of him who has come to end the rule of Satan. We don't have the power to do such, but we are backed by that power. So we are heralds coming into the city, letting you know the good news that God has come and the chariot to deliver us from our oppressors is above our heads. Dear Brother President Barack, I want to raise a question as to why Allah God allowed you, a black man, to be the first black president of a house where the people of your father were sold into bondage. Could it be that because there's a hunger and a thirst in you to save America from her destructive fall, that Allah allowed you to become its president, even though those who helped to put you in office had a different idea and plan for you, a different vision for you? But Allah God has allowed you to be where you are, that you may possibly become an instrument to save America. Even though they may be at this moment planning to harm you, yet God may have placed you in that position that your heart's desire to save America and the American people from utter destruction from those who refuse to recognize the power that is above our heads. And maybe Allah God wants you to open up Roswell, Area 51. Maybe God wants you to use the power of your office to invite to America scientists from all over the world, just as it was in the movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, released the 28th of September, 1951. All the scientists in that movie came together, and the man from the wheel said to them, he came to offer them good. Listen to what the man from the wheel named Klaatu said to the scientists. And remember, it wasn't a big-headed, olive-eyed stranger from another planet. It was a human being, because on all of those wheels are angels, scientists, and crew that are human beings. Klaatu said, quote, "We've come to visit you in peace and with goodwill. And since 1929, the wheel has been above your head and has not initiated any aggressive action against anyone. The only ones that were harmed were those that tried to harm the wheels and its occupants." Klaatu continues, quote, "I'm leaving soon, and you will forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day, and the threat of aggression by any group anywhere can no longer be tolerated. There must be security for all, or no one is secure." Now, this does not mean giving up any freedom, except the freedom to act irresponsibly, and by irresponsibly, we mean wickedly. Your ancestors knew this when they made laws to govern themselves and hired policemen to enforce laws. We of the other planets have long accepted this principle. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. The test of any such higher authority is, of course, the police force that supports it. For our policemen, we created these wheels. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one to preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is we live in peace, without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises. This earth of ours, notice the change in language, this earth of ours will be reduced to a burned out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us, the Nation of Islam, and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you. This was a movie, but the writers of this script understood the reality of what these wheels represent. I made changes in what Klaatu said, that fictional person from the wheel, but I am not fictional. I am real. And I am from that wheel. And they who are on that wheel are my guides and my support. Remember, dear beloved people, I have set before you two signs, one of life and blessing and one of death and cursing. And I, with the backing of the two who are backing me, urge you to accept life, that you and your seed may live in a better world under perfect guidance that will cause us to make this planet anew. I am a trumpet of God. And it is wise that you listen to this trumpet, because there's another trumpet coming behind me. And the blast of that trumpet means death. My dear brother, President Obama, you can, from your high office, help America to save herself and the American people from the wrath of God. The two that back me can put a ring of fire around that shadow government and a ring of fire of protection for you against their plans to assassinate you. And I would advise you, America, do not harm President Barack Obama, because he may be the door that gives life to you and your children. As I said to you, from my October 24th, 1989 press conference about my experience on the wheel, at the beginning of this series on the wheel in edition 51 of The Time and What Must Be Done, I closed that press conference with these words. I would like to issue a warning to the president, to the governments, and to the people of the United States of America. If I am in your mind, before you of myself, if I am in your mind a hater, an anti-Semite, a wild-eyed radical, then you have nothing to fear from my presence. For I, like those who are actually like that, will go the way that history has decreed for that kind of person. However, if I am in reality in front of you by Allah's divine will as an extension of the divine warning given to you from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then be instructed that you would do well to leave me alone. You would do well to leave the nation of Islam alone and to cease and desist from your evil planning against the future of the black people of America and the world. For the black people of America, though despised and rejected, have now become the people of God. And he has declared that he will fight you for our liberation. The government would be wise to heed the counsel of Gamaliel in the days of Paul and the early Christians, who advised the rulers of that day with these words. And so, in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow it or them, or else you may even be found fighting against God. So it is not wise for you to plan against Allah's servants, for by so doing, America, you're planning against yourselves. This warning was for the president of that time, and even for our brother president today. It's for the government. It's for the chiefs of staff and the wise to reflect upon, so that the unwary citizens of America may not be harmed by the consequences of the wicked machinations of the synagogue of Satan that guides many members of the United States government. Now, you may come against me, which you are free to do, since we have no power to stop you, but I warn you that I am backed by the power of Allah and His Christ, and the power of that wheel in which I received the announcement that I gave years ago, and the announcement and teaching that I'm giving today. And the moment you attempt to lay your hands on me, which you already plan to do, the fullness of Allah's wrath will descend upon you and upon America. And before you will be able to establish your mockery of me, if that is what you wish to do, for what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad revealed to me on the wheel, you will begin to see these wheels. More of them, or what you call UFOs, in abundance over the major cities of America, and the calamities that America is presently experiencing will increase in number and intensity, that you might humble yourselves to the warning contained in the announcement that I made in 1989, and to the teachings that I'm giving you about this wheel today, or you will be totally destroyed from the face of the earth. This is a final warning to you and a final call. The ball is now in your court, and you may do with it, with me, and with us as you see fit. All the things that happened in the past in the life of the prophets are now being fulfilled. The book, all of them, Torah, Gospel, and Quran, are now being sealed. What is a seal? The definition of a seal is, it is a tight or perfect closure. A tight closure that prevents the entrance or escape of. What a definition. The seal of the prophets. What makes it so tight that nothing can come in or escape from the seal? In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4 of the King James Version, it reads, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Then go to Revelations 5 and 1, where it reads, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals." And then Revelation 10 and 4 reads, "And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. When you seal something, you close it, that nothing else can enter what has been sealed. When you call a man the seal of the prophets, then he fulfills everything that the prophets spoke concerning him that would make them liars if their word was not fulfilled. And in fulfilling their words, you have then sealed it, and you have sealed them, the prophets, and you have verified them as sincere, authentic prophets of God. Because if that last one does not come and do the work that is prophesied that he would do, all the other prophets could be considered liars because their word was not fulfilled. This seal of the prophets makes it impossible for anyone to escape the reality of the seal, because the seal fulfills, and in fulfilling the words that were spoken of him by those who came before him, this closes the door on prophethood. There's no need for a prophet anymore once the seal has been placed there by God himself. The question is, was all that the prophets predicted fulfilled in Jesus of 2,000 years ago or Muhammad of 1,400 years ago? You have to answer that as a religious scholar. If what the prophets predicted of end times did not happen on the watch of Jesus of 2,000 years ago, nor the watch of Prophet Muhammad of Arabia 1,400 years ago, then Jesus and Muhammad prefigured a future time and a future man who would seal up the book. None of the plagues that were seen in the time of prophets took place during the time of Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, peace be upon him. And none of the plagues that hit Pharaoh and others took place during the time of Jesus the prophet. So he was 2,000 years too soon to bring about his desire to end the civilization of the wicked, and Muhammad was 1,400 years too soon to do the same. The seal of the prophets means it's an individual that is sealed with the wisdom of God that lets the world know that he is authentic. So they, Jesus and Muhammad, prefigured the coming of the great Mahdi and the great Messiah, Master Farad Muhammad, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was given the knowledge that seals the books, the scriptures. I represent those two men, and they are the two that back me, the great Mahdi, Master Farad Muhammad, and his great Messiah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am not before you of myself. I am a warner to you from the great Mahdi and the great Messiah. My duty is a clear delivery of the message from Allah and his Christ. I have set before you two signs, one of life and blessing, one of death and cursing. Please choose life, that you and your offspring may live. By the time, Surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good and enjoin one another to truth and enjoin one another to patience. This broadcast ends this talk on the wheel. And this broadcast also ends the 58 weeks that we promised at the beginning of last year. Those of you may take from broadcast lecture 1 to broadcast lecture 58 and pass them, and we will have scholars to review each of these broadcasts and talk to you about each lecture, and you will be able to call in by phone and ask your questions, and you will be able to engage our scholars and others. I ask you, what will you do with these broadcast lectures? Will you let them sit in the final call building gathering dust while people are hungering and thirsting for knowledge? While they die because we failed to deliver the message? What kind of ministers are you if you don't rise up on the wings of this knowledge and spread it to the ends of the earth? As Jesus told his disciples, take this gospel to every nation, kindred, and tongue. What kind of people are you that sit by the television and have been fed from us for this year and a few weeks, and you won't share it with your friends and your family? This should be the discussion in schools and organizations, in churches and mosques and synagogues and temples. May Allah bless us to rise up with strength and spread this word, that our punishment may not be that we knew and failed to teach others. Remember in our lessons, what is the duty of the civilized man? And if the civilized man fails to perform his duty, what must be done? In these broadcasts, I have relieved myself of the burden of your lives by delivering the message in as clear a manner as I could. So I now leave it in the hands of Allah God. Whether you will hear or forbear, it is entirely up to you. May Allah bless you. I thank my research team who have done a marvelous job in helping me to prepare these broadcast lectures for you. I thank the Final Call staff with their cameras and sound people and technicians, reporters, transcribers, and writers who helped put these broadcasts in writing in the Final Call newspaper. I thank my beautiful Twitter and Facebook army for all your wonderful work in causing us to trend over 30 times in the 58 weeks of this broadcast. Lastly, I wish to thank our faithful listening audience who have followed us from day one, and I thank my critics and even the haters for their emails and tweets. All of you helped to make this series what I hope it shall be, a guide for us to save ourselves. Now, to each of you who worry about me for revealing these truths, knowing that I and we are putting our lives on the line, I say to you, when I came to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I came to him to give my life for this truth that will free you and free humanity from the blinding touch of Satan. So fear not for me. I don't believe that Allah will permit my enemies to kill me, though they may soon put their hands on me, as they did Jesus. But I will be saved, and so will you. So may Allah bless you all, and I hope to see you. Be my guests at Savior's Day in Detroit on February 21st through the 23rd, where our theme for the conference and our subject on that Sunday will ask the question, how strong is the foundation? Can we survive? And to those of you who say Farrakhan has deviated, he does not really represent Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad never said he was the Christ. This is something that Farrakhan has made up. Say what you will. But Elijah Muhammad told me, when I created a uniform with the crescent and star on either side of the jugular vein and showed it to him, he said, quote, take the crescent out of that design, because the crescent stands for equality, and you have no equal. Have a star coming out of the sun. So those of you who will say that I have deviated, that I am not whom I'm saying to you that I am, go and read the 53rd surah of the Holy Quran called Al-Najm, the star. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. By the star when it sets, your companion errs not, nor does he deviate, nor does he speak out of desire. It is naught but revelation that is revealed. One mighty in power has taught him the Lord of strength. So he attained to perfection, and he is in the highest part of the horizon. Then he drew nearer yet. So he was the measure of two bows, or closer still. So he revealed to his servant what he revealed. And the heart was not untrue in seeing what he saw. Do you then dispute with him as to what he saw? And certainly he saw him in another descent at the farthest low tree. Near it is the garden of abode. And when that which covers covered the low tree, the eye turned not aside, nor did it exceed the limit. Certainly, he saw of the greatest signs of his Lord. And I tell you, I saw one of the greatest signs of Almighty God Allah when he lifted me to the wheel and gave me instructions for you and told me what he told me and showed me what he showed me and told me that I have one more thing to do and I can return again to the wheel and he will permit me to see him face to face. That is his promise to me, and verily he never breaks his promise. So you, my enemies and hypocrites, remember in 1935, when Master Farid Muhammad left in 1934, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to teach the followers who that great man was that visited among us for 3 years and 4 months. And guess what? The hypocrites among the followers then purposed to kill the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, saying he made that up. He said of Master Farad Muhammad what he didn't say of himself. He's trying to make himself something bigger than who he really is. So they set about planning to kill him. Well, here you, my hypocrites and my enemies, you're on the same course as they. For you are saying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never said that he was the Christ. Go back to the Theology of Time lecture series. He said, I am the Jesus of the Bible and the Muhammad of the Holy Quran. And in a table talk which we have, we'll be glad to share it with you. He said, yes, he was talking to me and others, I am the Christ, and we are the real Christians. You can take it or let it alone. Do what you will, but I warn you, what you plan for me is already at your door. So remember, those who wanted the death angel to pass over their houses, what did they have to do? They had to make a mark of an X on the gatepost of their door with the blood of a lamb. Well, there's no need for you to go out killing lambs. Just remember that the Lamb of God is Jesus himself. And the blood of the Lamb is the life that he lived as he walked among us and taught among us. Live that life, and you will be placing a sign on your door that the death angel that is now inside America may pass over you. Thank you for listening. And may Allah bless you with the light of understanding as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to thank my son, Joshua, who has been on my case for over 2 years, trying to get me to make this weekly broadcast. And when I finally submitted that this was the right thing for me to do, he also suggested that the words should be transcribed and put in the centerfold of the final call, that those who would like to study the words can make themselves into young ministers and better ministers by knowing the word from him who is authorized to teach it. So I want to thank my son, Joshua, on behalf of a grateful nation for the food that has been fed to them and the table that was set for them because of you.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.